Welcome back to the Mother-Daughter Disney Podcast. My name is Amanda. I'm here with my very lovely mother.
Hi, I'm Jeanette.
And today I'm so excited because my parents recently went to Ireland. And in this episode, we're taking a detour a little bit from Disney because my mom is going to recap her 10-day trip to Northern Ireland. So I'm super excited. I really don't know everything that they did when they were in Ireland. So this is also my first time truly hearing all of what they did.
Seen the
pictures
yet.
Their travel plans. So if you're thinking of ever going to Ireland, going to the north of Ireland.
Yes,
she's going to kind of recap the whole trip of where they stayed, what they did. So I'm excited to hear about this.
Okay, so it's all mine.
Yep.
I was very nervous about doing this because it's all mine. Very hard to plan an international vacation.
Yeah, because, in a general sense, yes.
Yes, in a general sense, it is very hard to plan an international vacation because as much as you can look up stuff and as much as you can try to figure out what's going on, it is not easy. So what I did was, is that I told Joe, because he wanted to go to Northern Ireland, my husband, we had been to Southern Ireland. We went about 5 years ago, right before COVID. We flew to Dublin. We stayed in Dublin. We went down towards Killarney, out on the Dingle Peninsula, all the way around, out towards Ennis and the Dromoland Castle, stayed in the Dromoland Castle and then went all the way back to Dublin. I mean, saw a lot during that vacation. That was like another 9-day vacation. This time, I didn't do any of the planning except we got nice hotels and a car. Other than that, Joe is in charge. He has somebody who works for him who actually has family in Ireland. She goes every year with her husband and kids, so she gave him tips and pointers, and I told him he was the cruise director. Because anybody who knows when we go on vacation, I'm the cruise director. I make all the plans. I pick the restaurants. I pick the stuff. So what we did is we just booked the hotels and we went. Just as a prelude, he was fired 3 times while we were on vacation. Okay. So he's no longer the cruise director.
Should I tell you what dad told me the other day when I was on the phone?
What did he say?
I told him, I was just like, yeah, I heard you got fired as the cruise director on vacation. He just went, I still sleep at night. All right, good to know, Dad.
Yeah, so. I fired him. The first time I fired him, we were hysterical laughing because it was just ridiculous. I should have taken a picture of what we ended up at, and that's why he was fired the first time. Then after I fired him the second and third time, he said, I thought I was fired before. I said, no, you're still working this vacation. I'm not getting involved in this vacation. Next vacation's mine. But anyway, that was the joke. We are not tour people. We don't get on buses. We don't get on tours. What we do is we just kind of get out there and just go. Every place we go, we kind of talk to the concierges, we talk to the hotels, we talk to the wait staff when we're in restaurants. And in Ireland, that's very easy to do because let me tell you, everybody there talks to you. I swear that the waiters and waitresses will sit down and have a conversation with you if they have the time. So everybody's really, really, you know, so good about that. So we stayed, except for the car, and we made sure we had nice hotels. We just kind of went by the seat of our pants at this point. Ireland, there is so much to see, so much history. Some of the stuff we saw was built in the 1100s. I mean, there's so much history. There's so many ruins. There's so many built up stuff. There's so much new stuff. Things like Game of Thrones and things like that and things that they get involved in and the scenery, the people, it's just so much to see. You can't possibly see it in 9 days. So we did whatever we could. So let me start with, I should tell you about packing. Ireland had the same weather like we have now. It's kind of chilly, a little bit of chill. The first few days, it was a little bit of rain.
My parents went in like mid-April is what she means.
Right. So. We just went last week, so it was mid-April. And the weather was just like New Jersey. It was just chilly in the morning. During the day, if the sun came out, it was warm. They thought it was summer. I mean, it was 60 degrees and chilly, and they were running around in shorts and t-shirts. We still had our jackets on because we were still realizing it was still chilly. But I packed sweatshirts, 2 pairs of sneakers, a pair of mesh ones and a pair of leather ones just in case it rained. I packed a couple of pairs of cargo pants, 2 sweaters, like nicer sweaters to go out for dinner at night, and 2 nice dress shirts. Other than that, it was sweatshirts, cargo pants, dungarees, and sneakers. Even at night, we used our leather dressier sneakers to go out to dinner, and it was most places, everybody's dressed as they feel, unless you pick one of their really fancy, and if I'm going to go that kind of dinner, I could go that here. I don't need to go there to go there. We wanted more local stuff. We wanted to go into all the local places, and don't forget an umbrella. A rain repellent jacket or rainwear jacket and an umbrella. You need in Ireland, because you could be walking and it could be 60 degrees and sunny. 2 seconds later, it's cold, windy, and you're being poured on. Ireland is just that kind of island. It just comes over in a second. So that's how you have to pack. I think that's something anybody who's thinking of going, because that's the biggest thing to worry about when I was packing. Like, what do I pack? If I couldn't overpack because there's only so much you can take on the plane. So it wasn't like we had a car, we could just throw everything in there. So I was trying to be as concise as possible. So that's what you need. I mean, I took, you know, like I said, a couple of sweatshirts, two little dress blouses and 2 sweaters, and it was fine. And I was very good because usually I get everything on me. I did not get one stain on my shirt, so I could wear them a couple couple of times. Okay. We flew overnight. Obviously, you have to fly overnight from here.
Yeah, from the
US.
You
fly overnight, you get there in the morning. We flew. International flights usually take off on time. Although we were about, I guess, a half hour late leaving because there was something wrong with some delivery they made to the food or something that they had to fix before we could leave. But you take off and they usually make up the time while they're going over the ocean. So we landed at, like, I guess, 7:30 in the morning.
Do you want to share what the ballpark numbers were for your flight tickets?
Well, my flight tickets were very expensive because what happened is that we had originally used points. And because we had to move our vacation, we were originally supposed to go at the end of September. And because of my husband's job, we had to move it. And because we had to move it, we were supposed to go to Bermuda in April. So we had to take the Bermuda tickets. And because they were non-refundable, we had to change them into Ireland tickets. Mm-hmm. I flew first class. My tickets were $4,000 a piece to fly first class. And first class, I got to tell you, it is luxury, especially when you're flying overnight. I don't take as much advantage of it as other people do, but there are people who obviously lay themselves out in those little cubicles that they give you and go to sleep.
Yeah, and they serve like real legitimate food too.
Not the best food. Still not that good, but yes. And they serve like three different types of food and they come down with a dessert cart and, you know, and drinks and this and that. And you got a pillow, a cooling pillow, a big gigantic comforter, a blanket, a bottle of water waiting for you, big earphones, you know, for your TV. In-seat entertainment. Yeah. I mean, they have a mirror. You open up this little compartment and there's a mirror. You get a fanny pack that's filled with the mask to put over your face.
The eye mask.
Slippers to put on your feet in case you want to walk around. And in that fanny pack is a pair of socks with little nubs on them. Mm-hmm. You get like a face refresher. You get lip balm. You get earplugs. You get the mask. You get, I'm telling you, and they were nice. They were Therabody. They were nice little fanny packs. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, so I got to tell you, flying first class was a luxury. But even in the back, I saw people like when I went to had to go to the bathroom and I had to go down and use the lavatory. You see the people with the blankets on and you see all the seats.
Oh, yeah. Those blankets are usually paper thin.
Those are the thin ones. Those are the little ones.
Those are the thinner than paper blankets.
Yes.
I have had one of those before.
Yes, but we get those and a comforter, okay? And a comforter. And you see people with them, things on there and they're all curled up. So I don't take as much advantage, but I got to say it is definitely a luxury to go, but very expensive.
For sure.
And like I said, I got stuck because we really do have, my husband's a traveler, so we had miles, but we couldn't use them on this flight.
Yeah.
So we decided to pay. And I said, if I'm going to fly 7 hours overnight and get there, at this point, this was our treat vacation. This was our, let's splurge and enjoy ourselves because we don't do this every year. So we did. The first hotel we ended up at is that we had booked the Hilton Conrad in Dublin. Now we had been to Dublin before and we had stayed at the Shelbourne, which is a Marriott hotel. But this time we wanted to stay more in the middle of everything. And I don't know what we did, but we screwed this up. We thought we had seen the Conrad when we had breakfast one morning when we were in Dublin. So we booked it thinking, you know, okay, well, we got there.
So it was the Conrad Hilton, right?
Conrad Hilton. And let's put a little thing in here is that what happened is that right before we left, I had to go to the orthopedic emergency room. It seems I have arthritis in my back and a little bit of scoliosis, which nobody ever mentioned. And I think I have sciatica. I could tell after the fact that it was bothering me for a while, very slightly. It flared up the week before we left. I was in tears. I didn't know how I was going to go through Ireland with the way my back was. I could not stand. When that pain hits you, those of you who have it know that when that pain hits your back and your leg, you can't move. You can't move your leg to get the pain to go away. You can't. There's nothing you can do. I didn't know what I was going to do. So when we landed in Dublin at 7:30 in the morning and got to this hotel, I was in tears because it was off the beaten path. It was far away from where we wanted to be in the middle of the city because we weren't going to be in Dublin one day. And we would have to take cabs everywhere and not be able to walk back to the hotel. So because it was before 10 o'clock in the morning, Joe went downstairs, told them that we had to check out. They said, okay. And we checked out. We had to pay for that one night, but we checked out. Right away, I got on the computer before we did that and made sure I could get a room. We went back to the Renaissance. Mm-hmm. Well, it was a Renaissance. Now it's an Autograph hotel, but it's a Marriott. That hotel we had been to before is excellent. It is really a European hotel. It is beautiful. Just that European flair. It's on St. Stephen's Green Park, right across the street. You have to walk maybe two blocks to Grafton Street, and Grafton Street, where is all the shopping is. Trinity College, where the Book of Kells and the museum and everything is right behind it, like two blocks. So it was more amenable to go there. We still did end up taking a cab one or two times when we got too far away because of my back, but at least we weren't on the outskirts. So we went back there. Luckily, Marriott had point rooms open. We did that. They give you free breakfast. embarrassed with that. And let me tell you, Irish love their breakfast. Yeah. So if you're going to stay in Dublin, I got to tell you, the Shelbourne, it is a true European hotel.
So how many nights did you end up staying there?
Two.
Two nights.
What happened is we stayed.
And did you have to pay for that or did you use points?
I used points. Friday, yes. The Conrad Hilton, that was the most expensive hotel. That came to about 480 euro.
Yeah.
Of course, that gets, you know, whatever the exchange rate is. That was one night. That was the most expensive hotel we were going to stay in. So yeah. That was the one night. The second one was the Shelbourne, and we used points to stay there.
Yeah.
But that came with a full buffet breakfast. And Let me tell you, they love their breakfast. This buffet was the nicest buffet. It was in their really nice restaurant because the Shelbourne has a restaurant. It has a bar with a restaurant, which we did eat in. And they have a little like bar that opens up in the afternoon that we had been in the last time when we were there. And then they also have this little library bar, like up these stairs when you come in the front, that's only for guests. A small little place with couches and chairs and things, just very quiet, very, very little outdoor terrace next to it, only for hotel guests that can go up there and order drinks and do whatever. They give you really great crackers with your drinks. That's another thing. In Ireland, when you drink, they give you snacks, which is really good. So we moved to the Marriott, and that Marriott, the buffet breakfast, the Irish have there, anybody who knows is that pudding. I don't know what the pudding's made of. It's like this little like round cakes that are like black.
I don't know.
They call it Irish pudding, but there's something in there and I don't eat any of that stuff.
I try to look it up real
quick. They had sausage. They had Irish ham, which is like Irish bacon is like ham steaks, like kind of done. They had home fries. They love mushrooms, roasted mushrooms everywhere. Okay. Roasted tomato. They had eggs. You could order omelets. Then they have the whole big.
It says Irish black pudding is a type of blood sausage.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I don't
eat it. It's a sausage made from pork, fat, blood, and sometimes oatmeal or
and
barley.
They look like little
yeah, looks like a little brownie
cake
almost.
A little brownie, like one of those mini brownies. I don't eat that. Joe would eat it, but I don't eat that.
I don't think I mean,
but they have that. Like all their little Irish jams and butter on the table, great coffee in those nice little Irish, you know, cups. I mean, we are talking top notch. That was the best breakfast. So we really enjoyed that. We stayed there two nights. We stayed Saturday night and Sunday night. We stayed there. So on Sunday, let me see, I'm losing my little notes here. Okay. When we first got there, we walked out to Grafton Street on Saturday because we got there Saturday. I'll make a little mention to Disney. There is a Disney store on Grafton Street. I hadn't been in a Disney store in a long time.
Yeah. Well, there aren't that many left in America.
No, there are not, but they still have the Disney store. I did go in there. I was hoping to buy you a t-shirt that said like Disney Dublin. They only had them for little kids.
Yeah.
They had a little girl's t-shirt that had the Irish flag like in sequins like on over a mini.
Yeah.
Like Minnie was sticking out from behind it and it said Disney Dublin.
Mm-hmm.
I said, you don't have that for adults. I want that for adults. But they didn't have any adult merchandise.
Okay.
But they still do have a Disney store on Grafton Street.
Yeah.
And Grafton Street's got all kinds of shopping. It's got, you know, the name brands. It's got a department store called, I forget the name, something Brown is the big department store. They have a department store. They have all the shopping. You go up and down. They have all little bars and off the sides. They have all little restaurants and bars and everything else. So we went on to Grafton Street and then we sat and had lunch at a bar called The Stand. I took pictures of everything so I remember where we got all of our stuff. And it was a local bar. It's called The Old Stand. And that place is a local place. And I remembered it from the last time. The last time on the last night, it was snowy and cold and miserable and we couldn't find a restaurant. And we just hopped into this place and sat in this little booth and they have a very small little limited menu. And that time we had potato soup and grilled cheese. It was the best potato soup and grilled cheese I ever had. And this time we had some kind of focaccia sandwiches that were delicious. And of course, every place we went, Dad had beer.
Mm-hmm.
I don't drink beer. So I didn't do much drinking. He did all the drinking. So that we went
That's
there.
Okay.
Okay. Because we ate a late lunch at the Old Stand, which like I said, I recommend it if you're there. It's on one of those little streets off Grafton. And on Grafton, they have all these little like flower stands. It's really cool just to walk down Grafton Street. Because we did that, we went to the hotel restaurant, not the fancy one, just the one that was in the bar. Very good restaurant. Limited menu also for me. I'm a fussy eater. It turns out that I really wanted a salad. Thought I could get a salad. Waiter said I could have a salad. And then they changed their minds because they couldn't make a salad. They like to put a whole lot of stuff in their salads. That's another thing. When you go to Ireland, you don't ever get a plain salad. Caesar salad is hard to find. A plain salad is hard to find. They put all kinds of stuff in their salads. All kinds of things that I would never put in my salads. But I ended up eating a pecan tart for dinner, which was fine. I said, just bring me dessert. I'm fine at this point. Because because I had already eaten a big lunch. And it was great. It was really, really good. So the next day was our day in Dublin, like just to walk around the city on Sunday. And we actually did the Guinness tour. Now, I'm not a beer drinker and I don't really care about the beer per se. The Guinness Stonehouse, they have lots of history at the Guinness Stonehouse, obviously. Okay. If you look it up, the Guinness Stonehouse has been there for years and years. I forget how many years they've been doing this. I have to say that when you see this outside building, it is an old stone building. Takes up like two city blocks. You go there, come in from the downstairs, down in the, like sort of in the first floor, and you actually realize you're inside this old, old building. You can see all of the bricks, the walls, the everything. They've modernized it to the point that when you go through it, every place you go, it's like these arrows that you follow and you're going up the floors. It's modernized. So there's like modern escalators, there's modern glass walls mixed in with all the old. And they go through the whole process of how it's grown, how it's gone through the families, how they use the water. Yeah. It's really a nice tour. Then they have a little cafe on one of the floors. You keep going up the floors. They have a little cafe on one of the floors and you can get like a drink or a little croissant or a little sandwich or whatever. But then they take you up into this little room that's like their little, like they call it their little, I forget what the name of that room was, a little tasting room. And they give you this little tiny little shot glass full of Guinness. And they're funny because yeah, people are looking like, okay, is this like the free Guinness we're supposed to get? And the guy makes a joke and he says, that's not your free Guinness. This is just to have a taste as we're walking around. Mm-hmm. And you're in this room where they do certain things in this room with all velvet curtains and stuff. Then you keep going around and they show you the barrels and how they make the barrels and the things and the thing. And as you're going up the things, as you get upstairs, you're on the seventh floor of this building.
Yeah.
And it is all glass walls. It's a circular room with a bar in the middle and all they're doing is serving. And you can get Guinness Stout, Guinness Ale, or a soft drink.
Okay.
They had a couple of little tables. We lucked out and got a table because by that time my hip was killing me. So we lucked out and got a table right by the window, one of the windows. But as you walk around, these glass windows are all circular. They have in writing on the windows what neighborhood you're looking at.
Oh, that's cool.
So as you're looking out that big glass panel of a window out into all of Dublin, you can see all of Dublin from up here. It's telling you what neighborhood you're looking at.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, I was impressed. And they give you a full pint of Guinness each.
Yeah.
Joe drank both of them. Yeah. Obviously, I tasted it. Not a fan.
Yeah, it says online they've been around since 1759.
Yes. Okay, 17. A lot of these things are 17, except when we got to Belfast and those areas, one of the places, the castles, was 1100.
Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, so that was the Guinness. Okay. So that went through. Okay. Two other restaurants that we did is we walked around. Last time when we were there, we did all the neighborhoods. I'm telling you, we did all the neighborhoods last time because we were there for three full days. This time, because it was only one day, we didn't hit all the neighborhoods. And because of my leg, we were a little bit, it was cold and like windy. So my back was really starting to go. So we went in, we walked around. We went to the St. Patrick's Cathedral. We didn't pay to go inside because we had done that last time. But we walked around that neighborhood. We walked all around the Temple Bar area. I got to tell you, I love the Temple Bar. It is the craziest bar you have ever been in.
Yeah.
It's about three or four rooms. It is crowded like you can't believe. It is not even like set. Like it's not like there's tables or a bar and table. There is just people everywhere and they serve food. And I'm saying to myself, how do they do that? How do these waitresses or waiters know where that food is going? Who they're getting it for? People are moving, sitting, hanging.
I guess they just remember who ordered the
food. I know. It is amazing. And they have live music all the time. So when you walk in, there's live music behind one of the bars. They're sitting up behind one of the bars.
And what was the bar called?
The Temple Bar. It's in the Temple Bar District. And that's what confused us a little bit because a lot of things said Temple Bar. And I said, Temple Bar? I realized that's the whole district. It's
yeah,
a cute little cobblestone street. It's got shopping, other bars, other restaurants, gelato place, another, you know, shops, little shops. It's a very eclectic. It's not that high-end shopping that you get on Grafton Street. It was just more of a cobblestone street with all these places off the side. But Temple Bar is a crazy place. And we went in just to listen to the music. We could. We just walked in and people were just hanging out, just listening to the music. So Temple Bar, obviously, you bring up Dublin. That's the first thing that comes up. Temple Bar is on the corner. The whole facade of the building is flowers.
Mm-hmm.
Like flowers and things. And Christmas time when we were there, last time we were there at the end of October, it was decorated for Christmas. The inside and the outside, they couldn't put any more Christmas decorations inside or outside this building. It is amazing to look at. And when you go on Dublin, the minute you go to Dublin, Temple Bar is the first thing that comes up because every tourist has to see Temple Bar. But it really is worth seeing. It really, really is. So we were walking around, getting tired. We went to a place called the Bull and Castle. It was this little building that was painted black. And we said, let's just just go and get a snack. We just want to sit down for a while and use the bathroom. And let me tell you, every bathroom in Ireland, spotless. I used the bathroom everywhere. Not one of them. It was all spotless. I couldn't believe it. But we went into this Bullen Market restaurant, which we went up to the second floor bar. The waiter was a guy from France, and he was going to Austin, Texas that week to visit his friends. So we were talking back and forth. I had a Bloody Mary there. He made me a fresh Bloody Mary. He says they don't do mixes. They do them fresh. Not like here where they mix it up in the morning. And, you know, we just had like a little charcuterie board and drinks just to hang out and relax. But I got to tell you, place was great. They were playing jazz music. It was a Sunday at 11 o'clock. The downstairs steak place looked amazing. If we were going to do that kind of dinner, I would have definitely went back to there. But Bullen Market is the name of this place. And I think the person who owns this owns a couple other restaurants. But Bullen Market, I would definitely check it out, even just to hang out at their bar upstairs or to go for a steak dinner. It was great. That night, after we got back to the hotel, we took a cab back. Turns out that the place we were going to dinner, which had live Irish music, was right across the street from Bullen Market. So we ended up right back there. And that was called Darkie Kelly's. And I've seen that one written up in a couple of write-ups on a lot of the magazine stuff, that these magazine articles have said that Darkie Kelly's was one of the best hamburgers I've ever had. It's fun, another fun place. Crowded as anything, jammed in, live music, waitress and waiters running around, doing whatever. It was just fun. It was just a fun place with good food and live Irish music. And that was Darkie Kelly's. So then after that, on Monday, we went back to the airport to rent a car. You can rent a car right in the middle of Dublin. That's what we did last time, because then we returned it there. But because we were not returning it back to the city of Dublin, we were going right to the airport, we decided to take the cab back to the airport and rent the car at the airport, because this way we didn't have to pay all the mileage and the different drop-offs.
Yeah.
We got it from Dublin and brought it back to the airport. So we went back and got our car. Big thing with the car, it's another thing. Renting a car internationally, another pain. We ended up getting a different car than we were supposed to get. It ended up costing us more than it was supposed to cost, but in the long run, the car was a great car, okay? We drove a Volvo XC60, I think it was.
Yeah.
We didn't have to get the extra GPS. It had it in the car. We didn't have to use Waze, thank God, because the GPS in this car was the best GPS I have ever used in our lives, and it was great for where we were, because you just started to type in something, it gave you all the tourist attractions right where you are. It was great. So it turned out good. But the problem with being in Ireland and having a big car like that is a lot of times it puts you off on these little tiny little roads, two-way roads, that a truck or another car or another SUV is coming towards you and you have no place to go. That's the problem with having a big car. We kind of did okay, because a lot of the roads we did take this time were a little bigger than the last time, but it is a little scary when you get on a road in that big car and you've got no place to go. So just think about that when you're renting, when you go over internationally.
How much did it cost, do you think, to rent the car?
It ended up totally costing us $673 for the car.
And
that was
days?
For Monday morning to Saturday night. Saturday.
Yeah.
We dropped it off on Saturday night and took the plane home on Sunday morning.
Yeah, so like almost 6 days.
Yeah, six days. The problem was is that we got all the insurance. When we first booked the car, we booked a compact SUV. Then we said that we got some of the insurance. I forget what the insurance we got was, but last time we were told to get that insurance too. But when we got there, they didn't have any compact SUVs. And they said, oh, well, right away, anybody who knows who rents a car, oh, we'll upgrade you, because nobody wants the bigger cars. They gave us a hybrid too. I've never driven in a hybrid, but it did pretty good with the gas mileage, thank God, because when you get the bigger cars, that's another thing. It's more gas. They also talked us into taking other insurance. They showed us this little card that says, if you get a scratch bigger than this, blah, 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 blah. It was just ridiculous. So we said, you know what? We're in Ireland. We can't call our insurance company now on Sunday. We just paid the money. So it turned out to be $673. And when Daddy returned the car to the airport, because I waited at the hotel while he went over to the airport, he said they actually went around the whole car with a light. I've never seen anybody do that. They checked the tires. He said, I don't care what they checked, because we got so much insurance that they could have set the car on fire and we were covered. But that cost $673.
Okay.
So, I mean, in the long run, it was definitely worth it. It was very comfortable, very good. And that was through National. We went because that's where Joe gets all his rentals from. Okay. So we left the airport and we went up towards Leitrim County. Now, Leitrim, you tell anybody, like even the cab driver said, oh, where are you going to be when you're in Ireland? But as soon as you say Leitrim County, everybody goes, oh. It's like, uh-oh. Where are we going?
Like, oh, wow, the boring place.
Yes. Okay. So here's the deal. Leitrim County is the poorest county in Ireland.
Okay.
We got the history as we were there, obviously. Leitrim County is the poorest county in Ireland. Lots of farmland, lots of farmers, no real built up towns. Every town is this little tiny little town that you're going to. When you're driving through these little towns that are like a half a block long that maybe have one little pub in it and one or two little stores, you know, kind of thing.
Well, it's just like the countryside, basically.
Yes, a lot of countryside. So, but we went there for a reason. Joe's family is from Leitrim. His grandparents came from Leitrim. Years and years and years ago, his grandparents left Leitrim to come to the States. So as much as we didn't know exactly where they live, nobody seems to know exactly where they came from. And we didn't do that much in-depth research for that. I mean, he didn't, okay? But obviously, he's been fired as cruise director, and that's why he doesn't do the research. It's a beautiful countryside. So we ended up in Carrick-on-the-Shannon, which is a little town that's right on the river. It's a river that runs in right in front of it. It's called the Landmark Hotel. And that was the best hotel when I looked it up. And that one's technically considered a bed and breakfast. So when you get there, you walk in, it's this big hotel looking from outside, and you get inside and realize it's a very small, little, cute little lobby. They do hold weddings there. I know that my sister-in-law and brother-in-law had been there for a wedding because his family lives up on near there. They had been there in a wedding recently. Cute little place. Their restaurant, oh God, nothing to look at. They had this little, like, little tiny little restaurant too that wasn't open. Their really nice restaurant was not open because we never bothered to know that on off season, Monday and Tuesdays, 98% of the restaurants are closed in that area.
Yeah.
So here we are there Monday and Tuesday. So, okay. So we go riding around, did all the, it's all countryside. It's go up through Leitrim. It was springtime. So not only were there all the sheep, like Shaun the sheep, the white sheep with the little black faces here, there and everywhere, all the little lambs were everywhere. Every pasture had tons of little lambs walking with their mothers, eating, prancing. I was in my glory. I was like, the little lambs. I hated seeing lamb on the menu when I got to the restaurants at night. Okay. So that was like Leitrim. So what we did is we got in the car and drove up towards Sligo. Actually, I think it's Sligo. I don't know. I don't remember how they say it. Sligo or Sligo. Coast. When you get up to the Sligo coast, you go through Sligo, which is a very big town. Sligo is a much, much bigger town than Carrick-on-the-Shannon, obviously. It's more built up, more businesses, more things going on. We went through there, just kind of saw it. We saw an old abbey. We stopped, saw an old abbey, took some pictures, did whatever. That was in Boyleton, Ireland. Like I said, you ride through these towns and you're like, you just keep going the road and it just takes you through all different places. We got up to the coast. It was beautiful. I have to say, the Irish coast is a gorgeous coast. It really is a nice coast. We went to the coast and we went to Standhill Beach, which is a very famous beach there. So we went there and it was cold, it was windy, but we got out, we saw Standhill Beach, we did whatever. And we went to this little tiny restaurant that you would never even know was there. The waitress and the bartender told us to go up to Magamore Head. And that's where all the surfers are. Their surfers come from all over the world to surf there. The waves get to like 10 and 11 feet. Mm-hmm. And the surfers come from all over the world. Yeah. So we went to Magamore Head and saw some of the surfers and did whatever and came down around. Well, we were supposed to go to Glencar Fall. And that was the first time Joe got fired. Because when we got to the town of Sligo, he said, oh, the falls are there. And he followed a sign that said falls. Well, these falls were this little tiny thing between two buildings that muddy water was flowing over.
Yes.
So I looked right at him and said, you're fired. Yes. That's it, okay?
But it still counts as falls, though.
Yes, but that wasn't the falls that we were supposed to be at. Glencar Falls is a nice little falls. It's, you pull up, there's this beautiful, like, lake in front of it where the falls are going into. Beautiful scenery, pastures to the right, you know, water to the left. You have to walk up not that far, because like I said, I was kind of like, oh, wait a minute, not hiking that much with my back, but we just walked up this little path to where you came in. There's like a little balcony there that you stand there and the falls are coming over. Very nice. They have a nice little cafe down at the bottom that serves like little snacks and little sandwiches and coffees, all kinds of cappuccinos and stuff that you could sit and whatever. There's a little children's playground outside. So if you have kids and they're getting antsy, they had a little children's playground outside. Very, very nice. Very nice little place to stop. So Glencar Falls was just a really nice stop at that point. And then we headed back to Carrick-on-the-Shannon and tried to find someplace to eat. When we got to Carrick-on-the-Shannon and realized that all the restaurants were closed, there was one Italian restaurant open, and the girl behind the desk, they all had all these young little blonde Irish girls. I didn't see much red hair. That was the one thing I noticed. Very little red hair, lots
red
of blonde hair.
Red hair is more associated, I think, with Scotland, isn't it?
Yeah, well, when we got up to Belfast, I did see two or three people with redheads, but very little.
I think I've heard that it's a misconception that red hair comes from Ireland. I think it's more Scotland.
Yes, not much red hair. A lot of Ireland, blondes, though, I gotta tell you. A lot of blonde. So, very nice people behind the desk. Very, very nice. And they told us that Davino's, this Italian restaurant on the main street, which was across from a bar that we went to called the McHugh's Bar. This bar was the best bar I've ever been into. to because it had these two real fireplaces going. Full fires. I mean, wood fires. It was the coziest, nicest, most comfortable bar I've ever been in. And it was just fun. Some Irish guy, took on to daddy and wanted to talk politics. So he was like so happy to have an American to talk politics to and whatever. And then we went to Divino's for dinner. Best Italian food I have had in a long time.
Yeah.
Fresh pasta, fresh stuff, fresh garlic, fresh everything. When I asked for, it was made with chili. And when I asked him if I could have some crushed red pepper, he actually brought me the bottle of chili peppers with the oil in it. It was, the guy who owned it and his wife were amazing. Food was delicious.
Were they Italian?
Yes. Italian, full Italian. Wine was delicious. We had this wine. I told Daddy to make sure he remembers the name. I don't remember the name, but we had this red wine that just was so good. They served it in those really nice glasses. So it was really nice to enjoy it. We really enjoyed the meal there, thank God. So we found a really nice place to eat. And because it was the only real restaurant open, we went there the second night. We were trying to find another place to go. And we were like, okay, we have to drive like a half hour to go anywhere. We're going to want to eat, want to drink. Do we really want to, in the dark, leave a restaurant and come home? And we said, nope. We went back to Divino's and just ordered something different.
Yeah,
and it was just as good as the first night. So when he looked at us when we walked in and said, we're back.
Yeah.
And the thing about Ireland too is no reservations. We didn't make any reservations anyway because we went off season. We were not going where it was crowded. We didn't hit any traffic. We didn't hit crowds of people everywhere. We just, any restaurant we wanted to go to, we just walked in and said, we're here and we got a table. Even if it was crowded, we got a table. So we made we walked in, he just smiled at us and we were like, see, told you you had good food. And we ate there a second night. I mean, why tempt anything?
Mm-hmm.
So that was Carrick on the Shannon. When we were talking to the waitress, that was the other thing, is that the Landmark Hotel is a really nice hotel, really cute, really, really friendly, but needs refurbishment. I mean, the bed, when you sat on the bed, it felt like you were going down to the floor.
Yeah.
Where we came from the Dublin Hotel.
Yeah.
That hotel had like the heated towel bars.
Was like a luxury hotel.
Yes. Hotel, heated towel bars, the whole thing, except that the room was hot because when you turned on the bathroom, the heat came on and you couldn't turn it off. So trying to get dressed to put your makeup on. That's another thing. If you want to do anything with your hair, forget it, okay? You need the adapters to plug anything in. Most of their plugs are not the best plugs in the world.
Yeah, even when I've been to Europe, mm-hmm. I find a lot of the plugs quite weak.
And there are no plugs in the bathroom except for shavers. That's the only thing you're allowed to plug in there.
That was the same thing too when I was there.
And if you don't have a mirror out in the room where it's convenient to plug something in to do your hair, well, I have curly hair, so as far as I was concerned, I just went out and let it just do whatever it was. The worst that could have happened, I'll put it in a ponytail. There was nothing I could do about it. Thank God the Irish weather was good for my hair. So it was fine. But that's one of the things about it. So we went from that luxury. First of all, the Conrad Hilton had the best bathroom. Best bathroom. I mean, we just used it before we decided to leave. And it was gorgeous. The mirrors, the lighting, everything. Gorgeous, right? Got to the Renaissance. That's a little bit more old, but yet very well appointed. We got to the Landmark. That kind of went downhill a little bit. That bathroom really needed to be refurbished, whatever. But it was clean. Bathroom was clean. At least the room had less heat, but the bed wasn't that comfortable. So we left the Landmark. And when we were talking to the waitress, she told us that we should go to Londonderry. On our way to Belfast, we should go to Londonderry. It's a really great city. She's been going up there to do, and I have to give her credit because Londonderry is like about, everything is 2 hours from each other.
Yeah.
Belfast is 2 hours from Carrick. Carrick is 2 hours from Dublin. If you go down like to, you know, where Killarney was, that was 2 hours from Dublin, 2 hours from this, 2 hours, everything's 2 hours.
Yeah.
But we went to Londonderry, and unfortunately, Londonderry, it was cold, it was rainy, it was starting to rain, and it was dreary. But Londonderry is a walled city. Now, I think I put what year I think it was in. I can't remember. See, I'm losing my notes here because I wrote so many notes yesterday. But we went to Londonderry, okay? And Londonderry is still a walled city because as soon as you get into Londonderry, you're now in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
Even though you're still in Ireland, you are now in the UK.
It has changed
over from euro to pounds. You are in a British territory.
London. Is there any like customs change? You just drive over?
Nope, you just drive. Okay. Nobody stops you. We had our passports ready just in case, but no, you just drive and nobody stops you. Nobody, but all of a sudden you are now in British territory. Londonderry is a walled city and you can actually still see the ruins of the walls and it's put San Francisco to shame.
Mm-hmm.
The hills were amazing. Place is packed. Could not find parking. They had a mall, okay? Mall was crazy around the mall with driving. I got out and took some pictures in a park that overlooked where the river came through because we came over a bridge to get into Londonderry. And like I said, mm-hmm. anybody who's been to Manayunk from Philadelphia and you look over from the highway and you see all those houses in the hills, that's exactly what it looked like. And it's called the Walled City. So it was interesting to see. We didn't really stay there very long, but we did go a little bit out of our way just to go through there so that we could see it. And then we got to Belfast. Belfast is not the European feel that Dublin has. Dublin is a very big spread out city. Lots of different neighborhoods. I mean, you could walk your feet off in Dublin, which we did last time. Lots of different neighborhoods, lots of different flavors in the neighborhoods. Belfast is more of a city. It's more of like going to Chicago or Philadelphia or New York and getting that feel that you have all the old buildings mixed in.
Sort of like London almost.
Yes. It's got the newest stuff mixed in with the oldest stuff.
Yeah, because I feel like that's really what London feels like when I walk around London. There's a lot of the older, you know, things from like, you know, the 1600s, but yes. Then it's all skyscrapers too.
Yes, but in the middle you've got all this newest stuff. Like their city hall is amazing, Belfast. It takes up a full city block. Four sides. Every side looks like it's the front of the building. It is gorgeous. Grounds in front of it, statues in front of it, a dome on it. Really, really beautiful city hall area. The Fitzwilliam, which is funny because the way they took their pictures of the front of the hotel made it look like we were going to drive up in front of this big, beautiful hotel with this big opening and this big glass doors and whatever. Uh-uh. It was right on a busy street as soon as we came over the little bridge that it was hard to even get the taxi to pull in so we could get our bags out of the car. It was hysterical. I was like, are you sure this is where we're supposed to stay? Okay. So now we get in though, very high-end hotel also. The joke was, is that it was a beautiful hotel. You walk down the halls and reminded me of a Westin. When you go to Westin and they're very avant-garde and they have all this. Okay. You walk down the halls, everything's black. The rugs are dark. The walls are black. The doors are black. And every door had a full-length mirror on it. So as you're walking down the halls, full-length mirrors on every door. Okay. Then you get in the room. Room very well appointed. Bathroom was
and what's the hotel called again?
The Fitzwilliam. It's a chain. They're in a couple of different places. The joke was, is that when we got into the Fitzwilliam, the bathroom at this point, that room was the coolest, thank God. We finally said, oh God, thank God we're not sweating in this room because you could never adjust the heat the right way. But the bathroom in this one was black. Black tile walls, black tile floors, a tiny little white sink with a little glass shelf above it, okay? No place to do your hair, no place to do your makeup, no place to do anything. There was a full-length mirror on the door, like one of the doors, the closet door when you first walked in the door. But over the desk in the room, because it was a nice desk, nice TVs, every place had nice TVs, no TV to watch, but nice. We watched Big Bang Theory and Third Rock from the Sun when we were getting ready, okay? But over that desk, they had these little patches of mirrors that were all smoked.
Oh, yeah.
So you couldn't see in them, okay?
Yeah, it was like
so
designed,
the one place where you could actually plug something in and do your hair and makeup, you couldn't do it because you couldn't see. I said, they put mirrors in every place in this hotel. What the hell?
Well, technically it is a mirror.
I know. But I have to tell you, every bathroom, big, beautiful towels, skimpy on giving them to you because they only give you two of, you know, mm-hmm. everything. No washcloths in a couple of the bathrooms. You only got face towels and bath towels. They don't use washcloths. Well-appointed bathrooms and spotless. Like I said, very clean, very spotless. The Fitzwilliam Hotel, very nice hotel. They had a restaurant. We decided not to go to the restaurant for dinner because we decided to go out and do a couple of things. And like I said, we walked around. If you are a Titanic fan or a Game of Thrones fan, Belfast is the place to go.
Yeah.
You can actually go to the pier where they built the Titanic. You can go to the museum. Titanic doesn't interest me. I went nowhere near the Titanic.
I was going to say, my parents are not interested in Titanic and they have never seen an episode of Game of Thrones.
No. So. And I've never seen it, but I know that you have.
Yes.
So I wanted to make sure that, but they do have a studio tour for Game of Thrones in the city. You see it advertised on all the buses going by and stuff.
Well, that's their big tourist attraction is Game of Thrones.
Yes, yes. So. Big tourist attraction. I don't want to miss anything.
It's funny because I love both the history of Titanic and Game of Thrones.
Yes, yes. First night we got there, Joe did not want to stop on the road. That was the second time he was fired. He did not want to stop on the road. So he was hungry. And usually it's me who's hangry. Usually anybody
who knows. You just said you didn't eat at the hotel and now you're saying you did eat
hotel. No, no. We did. The next night we ate at the hotel.
Oh, the next night is what you
mean. I'm a little confused because I'm so busy talking. See, I get into my talking and then I forget my notes here. I was trying to be good about my notes. When we got to the hotel, it was like 4:30, 5 o'clock in the afternoon by the time we got there because we had driven all the way from Carrick on the Shannon and stopped here, stopped there, did whatever. Every time there was something nice to see, we had to stop and take pictures. So we get there and Joe is hangry. He wanted to eat. So we get to the hotel and the concierge was an older guy. He says, oh, you have to go to the Crown. You just have to go to the Crown restaurant. It's the best place to go. Blah, la, 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 la. Afterwards, I talked to friends of ours and they said, it's really interesting. I said, yes, very interesting bar, but don't eat there. The food, you know. So we go there because it was right around the corner from the hotel. The hotel was right next to the Belfast Opera House. Mm-hmm. We go to this hotel. This Crown Hotel is in one of the older buildings. I mean, really the old bar with all the tin ceilings, really a real after work kind of bar. Like you go in there and you see all the people in their suits and their things and the stuff and everything. And upstairs is where you go to eat. Food sucked. So I looked right at Joe and
also,
said,
real quick, if you hear any background noise, it's just my brother who came in.
Came in. Hi, Luke.
Yeah.
I looked at Joe. The meal comes. I looked at him and said, you're fired again. But I said, but it was okay. We ate whatever that night. We went back to the hotel and went to sleep because we were tired. It was a long day. The next day, what we did is we went to, walked around the city, checked everything out. There's a McHugh bar there too. That is the oldest building in Belfast. Actually, I have the date of in 1711. Mm-hmm. That building was built in 1711 as a private residence. So that building was transformed into a bar that's like a couple of floors. But that building is the oldest building in Belfast. And the funny thing was, is that it was raining. We were out there in the umbrella. We couldn't find the bar. We wanted to go to this bar. We couldn't find this bar. We're standing on a corner. A waitress came out of the restaurant that we were standing in front of and asked us if we needed help.
Yeah.
She came out of the restaurant. I looked at her and I said, well, thank you. We're trying to find it. She says, oh, that's that way. She says, White's bar is that way. McHugh's bar is that way. And they're in competition with each other. So I said, well, we're going to the McHugh bar. She said, okay. So she told us which way to go.
That's actually so funny.
Yes. And I said to her, I said, yeah, I said, that was very nice of you to come out. And she says, well, she says, once I was in London and the same thing happened to me. I was standing on a corner and I didn't know what to do. I didn't know where to go. I didn't know what. And somebody actually stopped and helped me.
Yeah.
She said, so I try to pay it forward. Yeah. I said, well, I'll try to pay it forward, but I don't know if I can tell anybody where they're going. But I said, I will try to pay it forward.
You don't really
in the
live
future.
In an area where people have to stop to ask you for directions.
Yes, but I'll try to pay it forward anywhere in the future.
Yeah.
She was very, very sweet to come out and do that. And then we found, it still took us a while to find it because it's like tucked away. And because it was raining, and like I said, the city is not a vibrant, like bright city, you know, when you're walking around.
Well, it's always hard to find stuff in the rain because it's like everything kind of turns the same color, I find. So
right.
It's like it makes it confusing.
Right. So that night we decided to go back to the hotel and have dinner there. Actually, the night before when we went to the Crown, we went back to the hotel and, well, let's get this straight. Joe went back to every hotel and had a whiskey every night because he tries all the Irish whiskey while he's there. And a couple of them were brand new things that had come out. Like he tried a couple of new ones that he had never had before. And of course you get all the main ones. You get the Bushmills, the Red Roosters. One of them was Writer's Tears. I kept telling Joe, I think you should get the Writer's Tears. I like the name, you know. He never ended up having that one. But the Tullamore Dews, all the different years, the Bushmills, all the different years, the Red Roosts, a couple of them that he had, I don't even remember the names because they were new. And like I said, I'm not a whiskey drinker either. So of course I don't really drink whiskey either.
I mean, like, I'm not a big drinker either.
I had like maybe five drinks the whole week we were there. I mean, you know, on one hand I can count what I had, but and two of them were wines at the Italian restaurant. So he had a whiskey every night in the bar. At any hotel we were at, we would go back to the bar, we'd sit nice, relax, and he'd have a whiskey, I'd have a glass of water, but they always bring you snacks. Well, this bar in the Fitzwilliam brought you a dish of snacks.
Okay.
It was popcorn, chips, and olives in these little dishes. Okay. It was like so cool, really good. So the next night we decided, we had seen the menu. We liked the atmosphere in the bar. So we went back. They had these booths. They had tables. They had the soccer games on the TV.
Yeah.
But the lighting was beautiful. The people were really accommodating. And I had a really nice Caesar salad with chicken.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what I wanted at that point. Because when you go to an Irish restaurant, eating healthy is not an option.
Yeah.
Okay.
Heavy food, I imagine.
Yes. Lots of heavy food. Lots of heavy food. And if you want a salad, you're not getting a plain salad. So I'd look at these salads and go, no, I don't think so. So eating healthy food is not an option in Ireland to a certain extent. I mean, you can pick and choose and you can find stuff, but we were eating a lot of stuff I would not normally eat. Like I said, two nights in the Italian restaurant having pasta both nights because they were so good. Another night having a hamburger. Another night having, I had fried shrimp because that was the best thing
on
the menu.
Well, it's also eating out every day too, which again,
yes.
On your normal basis, you don't eat out
right.
every day.
Plus,
and again, like the different times, it's again, there's a
5-hour
time difference.
You're right, there's a
five
difference.
Hours of
plus, you're getting up and having a full Irish breakfast in every hotel.
Yeah.
Fitzwilliam was the worst. I gotta tell you, we went there, we had to pay for the Fitzwilliam breakfast. We paid the first day. Thank God we didn't pre-book the breakfast. They tried to get us to pre-book the breakfast when we got there. And we're like, no. I was like, no, we're not coming back here. There was a Starbucks right around the corner. I said, go get a Starbucks. I'm having a bar. I had one of my bars in the morning, a protein bar. But the breakfasts are big. So even though you say to yourself, I'm not gonna eat that much because we don't go to these buffets and like load our plates up.
Yeah.
But I'm eating more than I would eat if I was home.
No, yeah,
then
for sure.
During the day, you have to stop somewhere. I wanna stop. I wanna sit. I wanna have something to drink. You wanna go to the bathroom, so you have to buy a little snack here, a little thing there. Then you go to dinner. Now you're having dinner. We didn't have any desserts.
Mm-hmm.
I think one dessert. Daddy tried the sticky toffee pudding in the McHugh bar when we had lunch.
Oh, you gotta try at least one sticky toffee.
Yes, he had sticky toffee pudding.
You know, when I was in England a couple of times, I was like, I have to try it at least
Yes,
once.
It was very good. It was very good.
The infamous UK
Yeah,
dessert.
They're all made differently. This one was more looked like a piece of cake, like, as opposed to a dish or whatever, but very good. And then one night we had a little bit of chocolate ice cream after the pasta because
you had that pecan cake too.
Well, I had dessert for dinner. Yes, but I don't consider that dessert. That was my dinner. But after that, the only place we had a piece, I had a piece of chocolate cake the last night we were at the airport because, you know, whatever. But anyway, I'll get to that. The bar, we went there purposely because we had our drinks. They brought our little snacks. And then we had a Caesar salad. It was great. Very relaxing. Great restaurant. Like I said, the Fitzwilliam, nice hotel. I didn't need to go into their major restaurant and spend $60 for a steak or an entree.
Yeah, for sure.
When I could go sit in the bar and have a nice Caesar salad, you know, and have snacks with my drinks and whatever. So the next day, we got in the car and went up the coast. And that's where I have a couple of things. I should read my notes because that's where we went up and did where the Game of Thrones was filmed. Mm-hmm. As you're going up the coast towards the Giant's Causeway, they actually have a little map that tells you where some of the things of the Game of Thrones was filmed. Now, I did not watch Game of Thrones, but one of the places we went to was in Ballantoy Beach on the North Coast. And that was used for scenes in Pike and the Iron Islands. Mm-hmm. So anybody, I guess, who watches Game of Thrones knows what that is.
Yes.
Okay, that was there. Okay, we stopped on the way up. We stopped in a little coastal marina. It's really funny because the marinas in Ireland, they'll have their boats, but around the marina is a stone wall. So I guess because the ocean gets so heavy, they can't have these little marinas right off the ocean. So they have stone walls around all their marinas. Mm, this was a cute little marina town.
Sense.
We stopped in a little hotel that had a little cafe in the front, that like a little stand. We just got something that had like sausage and a puff pastry and daddy got a coffee. It was just a cute little place to sit and, you know, look at the water. Giant's Causeway is funny. Okay. We went all the way up to Giant's Causeway, and Giant's Causeway has all this history behind it. Supposedly two giants, one from Scotland and one from Ireland, were having a fight. Mm-hmm. So one of the giants built a bridge to get over to the other side so he could beat his rival, the Scottish giant. And then on the way back, he was so mad that he flew through the causeway, knocked down the bridge, and opened the causeway up, supposedly. And all the rocks flew, and that's what causes all these rock formations and different things that you can see in the causeway.
Yeah, that's cool.
When we went up to the causeway, we did not go to the museum. You have to pay to get into the museum. It's not that expensive, but it would have cost us like $40 for the two of us to go into the museum. I didn't need to go in and see all the things that they tell you about the Giant's Causeway because they have everything outside kind of telling you that. All we did was pay £10 to park the car. And it's right outside the Causeway Hotel, which is right at the bottom of the cliff up the causeway. And it's got a really nice little restaurant in there, a little cafe, where I bought your little magnet that was in the little like entranceway. They had the bathrooms there. So for $10, we got to park the car. And there's a walkway to go up the causeway. You can climb as far high up as you want. We went, I guess, a third of the way up. I sent pictures back to the kids and I said, look where I am. I hiked. You could see the road at the bottom where people were walking. And we were that far up that they looked like little ants. So we had walked up this little, and I kept saying, okay, I can keep going. Like we kept going until I didn't want to go any further. Daddy walked a little bit further up, but I stayed. But you get up there and you see all of that coastline and everything. Really beautiful. I mean, it's all scenery. Ireland's all scenery and museums. Okay, so then that's when we stopped by the coastal village. And then we went to see the Ballantoy, which they did. And then after that, we went through the town of Bushmill. Mm-hmm. Bushmill is where the Bushmill Distillery is. And they've been making whiskey for 400 years there. There's the big Bushmill Distillery. The town of Bushmill is a really cute little town. Lots of little Bushmill Hotel and little Bush, you know, all these little pubs and whatever. We got stuck in traffic there because there was an Irish funeral. And then we went to the Dunluce, I think it's spelled, or Dunluke, I think it's spelled, castle. That castle was built between the 15th and 17th century. And that was where they did a lot of the Game of Thrones, which was supposed to be the House of Greyjoy in the Iron Islands.
Yes.
That's where they did the filming for that, was this Dunluke castle.
That makes sense.
It's a whole ruined castle that's right on the coast.
Greyjoys are actually my least favorite characters in Game of
Thrones. Oh, okay. Yeah, like I said, you're saying something that means nothing to me.
Yeah,
okay?
I didn't enjoy their storylines at all. Okay. Like Theon Greyjoy.
Okay, well, that's where they filmed that. Now, there were other places. There were the caves. We missed the caves. By the time we realized where the cave turnoff was, we were already way past it. And we had so much else to do. We said, okay, just keep on going. But like I said, this Game of Thrones, I mean, they really filmed all along that top coast, along the top of Northern Ireland. We actually saw a little cave. Like we stopped where there was this little cave by the...
It'd be cool if you ever watched some of those scenes, if you would recognize
I would recognize where they are, because I got to tell you, dramatic. I mean, that castle sits right on the edge of that cliff, and you look out at that cliff and see that ocean, and it's just amazing. I mean, like I said, you have to want to like this kind of stuff and be on, you know, moving all the time to see this, to see that, to go here, to go there. I'm sure there, if you just wanted to go and sit, you could, but Ireland has got so much history that we didn't even see half the stuff. Mm-hmm. It was amazing. So the last day, Belfast, we had to go from Belfast back to the airport. 2 hours. 2-hour run. But in the meantime, we were supposed to have stuff to do in between. That's the third time Joe got fired because he had nothing. Nothing. Okay? I said, you took me to castles, but all the castles were ruins. The abbey was ruins. The castle were ruins. I said, when I said I wanted to see a castle, I wanted to see like the Dromolin castle where you go inside and you see all the fancy stuff and how, you know, whatever. Okay. So we find that there's a Belfast castle. Belfast castle is a very small little castle. It's right outside the city limits. Like in, it's actually still in the city limits of Belfast. But we went there. It was kind of disappointing because we saw the first floor. It's a very small little castle. We saw the first floor, but they had blocked off the second floor because they were holding a private reception that day. Mm-hmm. You can get married at the castle. They have these beautiful gardens right outside the castle. You go down these steps to the back of the castle, and there was a fountain and these beautiful gardens. And it was so funny because there was an Italian motorcycle gang there taking pictures. They were all having a good time. Girls, guys. One of them reminded me of our cousin Jimmy with the long hair and his personality and whatever. He was hysterical. We took pictures for them. They said, could you take pictures? All of them. There's like 7 or 8 of them hanging out on the railings, hanging out by the fountain. We took all kinds of pictures for them so they could have all their pictures together. They were fun. Beautiful scenery. When you look off there, you could actually see to the right, you could see the piers for the Titanic. You could see all the water, the boats, the things, everything going on in the city. So it really was a pretty little castle. So we hung out there for a little while, got in the car and started driving. And as we're driving, we went through a town called Downpatrick, Ireland. All of a sudden we see this sign that says St. Patrick's gravesite. And I'm like, are they talking about the St. Patrick? I mean, I would think it would be a bigger deal, you know, because when you're going through Ireland, all the street signs are this white, like arrow kind of thing. I bought Amanda a refrigerator magnet. It's the same thing. It's that white long thing with an arrow at the end. Mm-hmm. And it tells you where, like, go this way, go this way, go this way. The tourist attractions are in brown. Mm-hmm. They're brown. And when you look up, you'll see it says this. And that means you may want to go see that. So we said, we got time. Let's go. So we get up this road, this little country road. It's like, oh God, here's another little country road where you don't know where you're going. You're trying to speed through it so that nobody's coming the other way, whatever. We get up there and there's a cathedral at the top of this little country road called the Dome Cathedral. And that Dome Cathedral was built in 11 something. I wrote the things down. 1183.
Okay.
It was built in 1183. They have a cross there that was supposed to be the cross of St. Patrick. They still have remnants of that cross left in the church that mm-hmm. you can see the remnants of the cross, but they rebuilt a new replica.
Yeah.
Right next to this little cathedral is a graveyard, and the graveyard has all these old stones in it, like all these like really, really old stones, obviously, and there's St. Patrick's grave.
Are you able to just walk around?
Yes. You just walk around the things, and they had St. Patrick's grave.
A lot of the famous graveyards in America are very closed off and protected.
No, these graveyards, you can go anywhere you want. In Ireland, you could get out, take pictures.
Yeah, there's a few famous graveyards in Boston where a lot of famous, like, American
presidents and stuff. Yeah, only the tourists can take you through.
Yeah, it's like they're very famous people.
In Ireland, there's no tourists taking you through. You could do anything you want.
Yeah.
But St. Patrick's grave was right there. They put a little, like, wrought iron fence around it, a little square wrought iron fence around it.
You hear my dad walking around.
Yeah, now dad's walking around. Sorry, it's Saturday here and there's things going on. But a little fence around the grave, and you're looking right at it with the date engraved in it, the whole thing, the old piece of stone. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. And it was the St. Patrick.
Yeah.
And the cathedral is a cute little cathedral. They had a little gift shop. Every cathedral has a gift shop. But this gift shop had all little handmade stuff from the people who go to the cathedral. Like little knitted sweaters and booties for the babies and mm-hmm. little baby things. And the artistry, they had statues and little. I gotta tell you, even their porcelain statues and mm-hmm. things that people had made, like local artists, was beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. And then from there, we went to the Maldron Hotel at the airport.
Yeah.
I looked up the hotels. This was the closest hotel to the airport. It was the best hotel around, and it's also a chain, but I have to tell you, nice little hotel. We went in, daddy dropped me at the lobby, and he took the car back to the rental car place and then took their shuttle back to the hotel.
Yeah.
And then we went up to our room. Another small little room. Talk about the smallest bathroom in the world. The sink actually stuck out, so you had to go around it to sit down to go to the bathroom. It was like really small, but it didn't matter because the next morning we were just getting up and going. We ate in that hotel dining room because obviously we weren't going to leave the airport now and go anywhere. We had a Chinese pork and broccoli with rice, jasmine rice, which was excellent. Mm-hmm. Then we went into their bar and daddy had his whiskey and the soccer game was on and we were watching the soccer game and we just hung out. And then the next morning we got up and went to the airport. They had a shuttle. It was so funny. We got on the shuttle. It took 2 seconds. They went across the road, brought us to the terminal, said, okay, you're here. And you could walk it if you wanted to, but you had to cross a very busy highway with all our luggage, okay? The best thing about the Irish airport, you go through customs in Ireland.
Yeah, a lot of people, it's famous for that, in Dublin at least. So you do the American customs in Dublin and then you get on the plane. So when you land back in America, you just, it's like normal. So.
You go through the customs, easy. Yeah. Nothing that you have to fill out all these forms. They just look at your passport. They ask you where you're coming from, where you're going to, how long you've been here, why'd you come? Do you have anything to declare, like food or anything? Joe bought some liquor in the shop. They do not deliver it to you at the plane like they do like at Newark and stuff. You take it on the plane with you. You just walk through the airport with it and you get to customs. And we said, nope, we just bought a couple of bottles of liquor. And I told them a few magnets. That was about it. That's really, Ireland is not a place to buy a lot of stuff unless you like wool. That's it. And they just send you through and then you go to your gate, you get on your plane. So when you get to Newark, we just got our bags and went home.
So I should say it's very easy for people who are U.S. citizens with a U.S. passport. If you are not a U.S. citizen, I've heard that customs is the absolute worst.
Oh, yeah, they are separated. Yes.
So for instance, one of my close friends, she married an American man, but she's British. And so she does have a legal green card now. She's been married for a few years and she had a very, very poor experience there in customs.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And when she complained about it to her lawyer back in America about like what happened to her, he said that they have stories of that for many people.
Really? Well, yes, I was lucky. Okay. Yes,
well, again, for just non-U.S. citizens, apparently that other side is not a very good experience.
Really? Yeah, they do separate you.
Yes. So, but I've heard it's not a very good experience. I've heard it can take a very long time as well. Mm-hmm. So to get there very early.
Well, let me tell you. So even the U.S.
U.S. citizens apparently supposed to be very good.
Yeah. U.S. customs, very quick. They have no personality, obviously, when you get to customs. It's not like they're nice like the rest of Ireland. Okay. Mm-hmm. They're like, go here, go there. You're standing there. I mean, they didn't even open till 7 o'clock in the morning. They got you online and then you're standing there and everybody's like, are they open? Are they not open? When are they opening? Like we got, you know, what's
like
going on here?
To get to,
Nobody gives you any information. Nobody knows what they're doing. And they give you this sour look and you don't know what they're doing. It went quickly for us because we were there at 6 o'clock in the morning. I mean, we got up at 5 o'clock. We left the hotel at six. We got there at 6:10. So it took what, 10 minutes to buy a few bottles of liquor and go through. So by 6:30, we were online. There were still people ahead of us, but we were there. But you see where they have those lines set up where you go through like, you know, the thing. It's like a maze. I could see how there would be hundreds of people. Yeah, maybe.
I think apparently, especially for non-US citizens, it can take hours apparently to get through because it just takes a long time.
God. Well, so. I was very lucky. Both times we sailed through customs.
Yeah, I've heard US citizens say it's great. That it's super easy. Then you get home, you just get off the plane.
Yeah, you get off the plane, you get your bag, you go home. It's not like, because I'm telling you, we've come off the islands. When you go to the islands and you have to go through US customs.
Yeah, it takes
a
long time.
That's a horror show. Okay, so I don't want to go any place where I have to go through customs when I get back to the United States. Okay.
You have to stand on, it's like in the Philadelphia airport, it's like four different lines you have to wait on. It's like, like so many, you think you're dying. And it's like, nope, not yet. You got another line to wait on.
Yes, another thing. Yes, they send you through one line. You say, okay, we're on line for customs. And then all of a sudden you realize, nope, this is just the pre-thing. Yes. Let's just make sure you're going to the right line. Then we're
like
putting you
the
there.
The pre-line and the pre-pre-line.
And when we got there early, I guess the first guy who was doing the maze with the closing off, like, you know, the lines, he didn't know what he was doing. So when the person who was started at 7 o'clock came over, we had to then move. She had to move everybody around. And he was like, just looking, he's, I'm sorry. We're like, it's okay. You know, it's no big
deal. It's always confusing. I know it's all for safety, but it is confusing.
Yes. So. Thank God it's safe, but
just leave time.
Okay. All right. I'm finally done. But anyway, little after notes. Okay. Ireland is full of history. Okay. If you want to go someplace and have a really beautiful experience of seeing lots of beautiful scenery, meeting lots of nice people, seeing lots of history, Ireland's the place to go. Okay. I thought the food this time was a lot better than the food when I went the last time. The last time, the only place the food was actually decent was when we were in Killarney. The rest of the times, it wasn't so great. I think they've upped their game with the restaurants. Oh, I forgot about the last night in Belfast. We went to a restaurant called Sweet Afton before we actually left to go to Belfast Castle. Place called Sweet Afton. It was 2 blocks from the Fitzwilliam. It had live music, great food. I actually had a piece of steak there because I was tired of eating anything fancy. So I just had a little piece of steak with some steak fries. Steak fries were the best I've ever had. They had some sauce that it came with that was delicious. Daddy had fish. It was excellent. Sweet Afton, it's called. And it just was a really nice place. You could see there were a lot of people who knew each other, like meeting each other for dinner, like groups of people that were like going and hugging each other and meeting up and sitting in all these tables that were by the bar. And there were some people in suits, some people in other things, and music was playing. And another thing about all these bars is when the music's not playing, the Irish music is not playing, 98% of the bars were playing rock music. Mm-hmm. There was just regular classic rock.
Say, yeah.
Yep. Classic rock was playing
everywhere.
Think about
how many rock bands derive from Ireland.
Classic rock playing everywhere. Yeah. One or two of them had some Irish music playing, but most of the time when the Irish bands were not playing, it would switch to the classic rock. Yeah. Great music everywhere you went. So I love that because I love music when I'm in a restaurant. The only thing I can say is it was great, okay? There's just too many things to mention now. History goes back centuries. I could ramble on and on and on and on, but I got to tell you, people are warm. Place is great. It was clean. I mean, it was a clean vacation. I didn't have to worry about where we went or what we had to do or where we had to stop. It was really just a great great vacation.
No, for sure.
So I hope anybody who's planning to go to Ireland, I helped, because it is hard to find information.
It is, yeah. I always find planning international trips especially to be complicated because, again, Ireland's a little easier because it's still in English at least. So it's not, you don't have the language
barrier. Right, yeah, you don't have the language
barrier. Even where you're going, like you said, it's like you're switching currencies as well from pounds to euros.
Yes.
And that's very confusing to switch currencies multiple times to kind of go back and forth.
Right. Well,
and
that was the other thing I should mention. When we got there, we had a couple of euro from the last time we were in Dublin. We still had those, so we brought them with us. But when we got to the airport, there was an exchange, and Daddy said, you know what, let me just get some just in case we have to tip people, do things, whatever. I need cash. So we did the exchange. Whatever it was, we did it. Okay. Yeah. They said you shouldn't do it in the airport, but we did it anyway because that's where it was. Thank God we did that, because there was no place to do an exchange in Dublin. Well, we didn't ask in Dublin, technically. When we got to Carrick on the Shannon, nobody would exchange our money.
Yeah.
And we were running really low on euros, so we kind of conserved and made sure we used our credit card and did what we had to do. By the time we were finished, all our euros were gone. We used our last euros in the bar at the last thing and just took care of it. When we got the pounds, there was nothing open at the airport. When we got there, there was no place to get pounds. So what we did is, when we got there, we asked somebody, in Belfast, you just go to the post office and they just exchange it for you right there.
Okay.
So Belfast, like I said, is more of a up city as opposed to Carrick on the Shannon or Dublin. Dublin is more the European, more things. Carrick on the Shannon was
definitely... Well, that could be too, because Belfast is part of the United Kingdom, which
yes,
is a little different.
That was
than,
the United Kingdom.
Than being its, you know, than Ireland, which is its own country. United
right,
Kingdom
and it's more of a city.
Like four countries together.
Yes, yeah. And Belfast is a very compact city, so everything's right there.
Yeah.
So Daddy went to the bank and exchanged. Actually, I think he went to the bank, if not the post office or the bank or wherever. He went out of the hotel like a block or two away and exchanged. So we did come home with some pounds.
Yeah.
But we got a better chance of somebody going to London or whatever in the future.
It is just so confusing when you're switching currencies, because when I went to France in the UK, I did the same thing with euros and pounds. And
right.
It was so confusing.
Yes.
It's just
we came home with like 25 pounds, but I'm sure somebody will get to use it somewhere down the line.
Yeah.
But that's it. Like I said, I hope that it wasn't too rambling.
This
I tried to
great.
Give you as much, because like I said, even the hotels, like I said, when we pulled up in front of some of these hotels, the pictures are not the same as what they look like when you're actually there. It's like anything, like when you buy a house.
Yeah. In the description of the podcast, I'll try to put like a little spark notes of just all, I'll just list out all the hotels and I'll list out all the restaurants that my mom mentioned, and maybe some of like the extra activities that they did.
Okay.
Kind of, you know, in the description, so you can check there again. So if you're listening along and you're trying to write it all down, just check there for the spark note version. So.
Yes. And like I said, some of the places that we went to, like I said, I'm very fussy about my food because I'm a fussy eater to begin with. I'm always trying not to gain 20 pounds when I go on vacation. So I always like to eat good food. And if I'm going to pay the money and waste the calories, I want to enjoy my meal.
I know. It is the worst when you pay money for food and then it's just not good.
I know.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not cheap. You know, none of these restaurants, we're not going. Oh, wait a minute. We did go to a McDonald's.
Oh, yes.
I forgot to say that when we were traveling back to Belfast, we got to Londonderry. We left Londonderry. We got through Downpatrick. It was more busy in those towns. It was a Saturday. I guess Saturday. Yeah, it was Saturday morning. We ended up that we couldn't figure out where to park. We were trying to find the restaurants. We were trying to find where we were. There was a McDonald's across the street. I told Joe, just pull into McDonald's. I don't care. We'll use the bathroom. We'll get a hamburger and some French fries. I just want a small little hamburger, small little French fries. It'll hold us till we get to the hotel. And there was a little soccer team in there while we were there. So cute. All these little boys running around in their soccer uniforms and families and whatever. That was the only dirty bathroom I went into, by the way. But anyway, food was great. The hamburger was good. The French fries were hot and they were fresh.
I do love a good McDonald's.
Yes, it was fine. Like I said, that's not something that I would normally do, because if I'm in Ireland, I want to eat Irish food, you know.
Yeah.
But by that time,
their fast food is made with better ingredients than American.
Yes, it was very good.
So.
But let me tell you, the food was very good. We did find a table, thank God, in the middle of all these little kids running around. But we did find a table, so it was great. We sat down, we got our food. I have to say, it was the last day of my vacation. I was tired. I wanted to go home. It was just, you know, it was just the perfect place to go. So we did eat at McDonald's.
Yeah.
But all the other restaurants, except for the Crown. The Crown, like I said, is a very interesting place to go in Belfast. And I think that they push everybody there because a lot of little old people tours were coming through there. And I'm not a young chicken, let me tell you. Okay, myself. But there are a lot of little gray-haired ladies and old men coming through there having dinner.
But you and Dad.
Right, and the food wasn't horrible food. It was just the menu was just not conducive to what we were looking for and whatever. And the nachos came and we had to complain about the nachos. We got nachos as appetizer, figuring, because we got drinks. And Joe got a drink and I got a margarita. And I said, okay, I'm going to have my margarita because it's one of the last nights we're going to be here. And I got a margarita and I said, oh, let's get the nachos. You know, they have the oh, it was horrible. It was so bad. They burnt there was hardly any cheese on them. It was burnt on the plate. And then the chips themselves were delicious, but there was no cheese left because they had burnt all the cheese off of it. So we had to tell the waitress, she's like, do you want me to bring it back? I said, no, don't bring it back. Just bring us cheese, and she brought us a little dish of shredded cheese, and we threw it on top, and then we ate it. So it was okay in the long run. Best jalapeno peppers I've ever had. They were fresh jalapeno peppers because they were hot, but I got to tell you, they really made a mess out of that. So that's what, like I said, that's why Joe got fired again. But I think they push everybody towards that restaurant. Like even my friends had said that they had gone there because it was the Crown building, and the building's old, and the bar is like interesting to see, but just don't eat there. Go see it, but don't eat there. I hope I did okay. Sorry I rambled on for so long. How long have we been doing this? Okay.
Yeah, I'm not going to do any Disney news this week, just so this is a bit more focused just on Ireland, but I will throw in the few Disney birthdays that we do have. Okay. There's actually no Disney birthdays, but I just wanted to shout out that Hollywood Studios opened on May 1st, 1989. So Hollywood Studios will be celebrating its 35th birthday this year, right? 35.
That's right.
And then also in our personal lives, my cousin Patrick's birthday is on May 5th. And I also wanted to shout out Star Wars Day on May 4th. So May the 4th be with everyone. But then we can end, I guess, on a Disney memory. But I feel like this whole podcast has been your memory. So I'll just share, I guess, a Disney memory. I've never been to Ireland before. I would love to go to Ireland one day. But again, the closest I've really been to technically is Raglan Road in Disney Springs.
And that's what the pubs all look like.
Yeah.
I have to say that when you go to Raglan Road in Disney, that's what the pubs look like.
Yep.
They all have that stained glass behind. They have those dark wood. The bartenders are running all over the place. The place is crowded. It's jam-packed. There's Irish music playing. We didn't get to see any Irish dances while we were in Ireland. There was one bar that had them. We just couldn't get to it. But you get to Raglan Road and it does make you feel like you're in Ireland. That's why Daddy goes there all the time.
Yeah, I know for sure. And I know too, they've said that they built the actual building of Raglan Road in Ireland and then just shipped it over.
Yeah.
So it really is very authentic to Ireland. So I feel like, I don't know, I just think of Raglan Road when we go to Ireland. So
gives you the taste.
I definitely will probably go one day. So I'm not sure when that day is going to be, but hopefully one day I get to go soon. But I hope you enjoyed listening to this podcast and hearing my mom's recap of her entire Ireland trip. If you were planning a trip to Ireland and you or just have more questions, you're just curious about
anything
else,
send them. I'll answer whatever you
definitely
need.
Feel free to DM our Instagram. Our Instagram has finally rebranded.
Okay.
I've changed it more to a personal Instagram, but it will be linked in the Linktree description below, so you can definitely find it there. But it is Almost Amanda X on Instagram. If you still search for Mother Daughter Disney Podcast or Spaceship Earth Design, it will still come up because I have it in like the description of my Instagram. But yeah, but just send us a DM, or if you're listening on YouTube, leave a comment below. I'll definitely make sure my mom gets back to you to leave any other comments or any tidbits that you may be wondering about going to Ireland. So thank you so much for listening, everyone. And we'll see you all soon.
Bye-bye.